ticket, ticket, meal, ticket, ticket, comma, still in my liver, real niggas in my condom, feel, hit me back, feel this one with a powder pack, pill, bring me back, feel this one out in California.
The blow is good, the hoe is good, the show is good, you know it's good. Cool as me out front, then can't cool, stoke, can't fuck, you know it's love. Clean as tight, EV, no head and shoulders, ho, you know it's good. Shout out to my kinfolk, just got on that Coca-Cola, squirt. Watch my pole vault and my go-kart, this my getaway as fuck. In my hood, we call it book, fuck by what you think of me. All my hoes be nines and dimes, all she want is chicken grease. All you know is what your mammy taught you about the surface. Get your
meal ticket, ticket, meal ticket, ticket, comma, still in my liver, real niggas in my condom, feel, hit me back, feel this one with a powder pack. Bring me back, feel this one out in California. Meal ticket, ticket, meal ticket, ticket, comma, still in my liver, real niggas in my condom, feel, hit me back, feel this one with a powder pack. Pill, bring me back, feel this one out in California.
Yeah, the trunk was for the rivers, long the cop was cool with smoking peace. Ain't we them to move at ATM, might buy the atrium. Where you say, Highway 58, in my cousin's house. Nowadays I like to bring my nephews and my budget out. I come from where you can't suck my dick and leave my cousin out. In my hood we call it clout, fuck about what you think of me. All my hoe be nines and dimes, all she want is chicken grease. All you know is what your mammy taught you about the surface. Get your
meal ticket, ticket, meal ticket, ticket, comma, still in my liver, real niggas in my condom, feel, hit me back, feel this one with a powder pack. Bring me back, feel this one out in California. Meal ticket, ticket, meal ticket, ticket, comma, still in my liver, real niggas in my condom, feel, hit me back, feel this one with a powder pack. Pill, bring me back, feel this one out in California.
Today was a keeper. I lost my heroes.
I just want to give a shout out to my boy Antonio, Mr. Snookums himself, for that hot track that he sent me. Thank you, bro. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to another episode of the Reckless Effect Podcast with your boy, Reckless in the motherfucking building. How y'all doing out there? So... I had originally prepared something that was going to be a little light, but, we're just going to get into the shits and get into some heavy stuff. So, I hate to start off my podcast like this, but, I have to give a rest in peace to, the late great, the legendary Scott Hall. The other day, he had died, on Monday, actually. After having a procedure and having 3 heart attacks during which they ended up putting him on life support. His family ultimately chose to pull the plug after they had all gathered and said their goodbyes. It's crazy how bittersweet something like that is. And I'm talking about... the gathering of the family to say goodbye. There are many times in, you know, our lives where we don't get that opportunity to say goodbye. I remember when my grandfather on Christmas Eve, almost 9 years ago, he went to the hospital, and me going there and seeing him hooked up to the machines and still alert and looking around, we as a family had, you know, hope and the faith that he was going to make it, even though we understood that there was a chance that it was not going to happen. And the day after Christmas, when we finally all as a family got to be there and say that goodbye, it was sad, but I was thankful that I had the opportunity to tell him how I felt, to share with him my love and my thanks for everything that he's ever taught me. It was still hard, don't get me wrong, but I'm very grateful for that opportunity, because if I didn't have it, I would probably have been hurting a lot more. And yeah, so I feel for that family. And when I honestly heard the news about Scott Hall, I literally broke down. I was in tears. And if you don't know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. Huge. I grew up watching every episode. I watched all the pay-per-views. I went to live shows. I brought, you know, homemade signs. I loved wrestling. I love it. To this day, I still love wrestling. And Razor Ramon was the coolest wrestler to watch. He was just full of swag. He had so much character. He was huge and built. And he was the bad guy. But you loved him. He made it so cool to be the bad guy. I mean, people looked at Scarface as this ultimate bad guy that you love. But for me, I loved Razor Ramon. I thought he was just the epitome of cool. And I just wanted to be like that. I wanted to be a wrestler like that. He was in the first ever ladder match, and it was such an iconic match between him and Shawn Michaels fighting for the Intercontinental Championship. It set the standard of how gimmick matches should go, with epic storytelling and incredible wrestling. Just incredible. One of my favorite and underrated matches, though, was his match against X-Pac, who at the time was known as the 1-2-3 Kid. And he faced him in a diaper match. And I gotta tell you, that sounds ridiculous, and it is. But if you go to Peacock and you watch that match, I'm telling you, you're gonna have some fun. It's gonna be just laughter and ridiculousness. And I loved that match. It was fun and full of surprises, and it really made me invest in him. His signature, "Hey yo!" Ooh, I think I killed that. Okay, cool. Was and is just as recognizable as Ric Flair's woo. And I'm not going to do a woo. I can't do a woo. I will never do a woo. But who can forget NWO? I mean, that changed sports entertainment. Like, not even just sports entertainment. Just, you see people who are not wrestling fans who are wearing NWO gear. Like, that's how big it was. It was like when the Raiders went to L.A., you know, it was that kind of big. It was that kind of, like, strong. But him gone, it leaves a small hole in my heart. Now I know that there's people out there who are going to be listening to this, and they're going to be like, dude, wrestling's fake. It's not that big of a deal. But to all of us that really watched from childhood to adulthood, it's always incredible to see these men and women do such amazing and just jaw-dropping moves and stunts. It's something that a lot of wrestlers don't like to say, but it really is magic. Like, I can take somebody who doesn't really watch wrestling or doesn't watch wrestling at all and put them in front of the screen, and I love wrestling so much, and I've seen so much that I know the match that I need to pull up, and it's always something different, but I always know a match that I can pull up for that person, and they'll watch it, and then I wait for that moment where they go, oh my God. And that's how I know it got you. And that's the magic. That's the magic. And it will always and forever be real to us. Not in the sense that it's nonfiction. No, in the sense that there's always these moments that pull us back in, that keeps us invested. That's the thing that's real to us, and how it makes us feel, how it still makes us feel. It's just like a good movie or a series. So when your favorite character from that show or movie dies, it hurts. It hurts a lot more than you would believe, but there's still a pain there. But I'm so glad that I got to watch him over the course of my life, and he'll be missed. His Hall of Fame speech was absolutely incredible, but his final words are perfectly said and powerful. Hard work pays off. Dreams do come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. Rest in peace, Scott Hall, and thank you for all the memories. Now, let's get into the shits, because to be honest with you, I was really going back and forth on whether or not I should even like talk about this today, but fuck it. Let's get into it. This whole Kanye and Pete Davidson situation is one I truly believe shines the light on something that is extremely, and I mean this with all sincerity, extremely terrifying for all parties involved, really. In the beginning, I honestly thought that it was sweet that Kanye was fighting for his family and wants to save his marriage. You don't hear it often that men will publicly humble themselves to their exes and make it very clear the love he has for his wife and his family. Bravo, do you. I honestly was like, yo, get that. Save your family, because as a black man, that's what you need to do. But, actually not even need to do, that's what you're supposed to do. So, it's strange that the things that we're supposed to do, it comes so seldom that we actually start to celebrate when we see somebody else doing what they're supposed to do. Like, I personally hate the compliment, you're such a good dad, you do all of this, and I'm like, I'm supposed to. That's my job, you know? I'm supposed to do this. I never really liked the praise of it. Like, and people who know me know that I really don't like compliments, but it's more of like, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I genuinely mean that. I'm supposed to do that. So you giving me praise for something I'm supposed to do sounds a bit ridiculous to me, but that's neither here nor there. But at the same time, Kanye put that woman through enough. She wanted to end it, and to my knowledge, she did everything she could, and she felt it was time to end things before it gets worse. And I respect the hell out of that. The thing that makes this scary is the fact that he's literally harassing her publicly. He's... Ooh, my apologies. My alarm was going off. And I'm supposed to be doing something? But... fuck it. Anyway. Now... He's... Say what you want about the Kardashians, to be honest. Say what you want. You don't like the family. She's a celebrity making all this money. This is all a publicity thing, and she's making money off the controversy. This is what she gets for appropriating black culture. Whatever. Like, look, that's all broke people talking shit, to be blunt. What I can't stand is hearing people talk down to or negatively about celebrities and the shit they go through, because at the end of the day, they are fucking people who are going through real shit. And even though it's public, this whole thing could be private, right? But the fact that they're celebrities, shit gets thrown out there, right? It's just fucking stupid. They're people. They breathe the same air as us. They bleed. They're not fucking perfect. And I'm sorry, if you think money makes all of life's problems just magically go away, then you're blind as fuck. The pursuit of money never ends. So it can't make you happy. It can't. It does help, but it's not the end all be all. I was actually listening to a radio station, these hosts, I'm not even going to shout, say what I was listening to, but it made me never want to listen to them again. On the station, the hosts were playing Justin Bieber's song, Lonely, and it had just came out at the time, so it was a while back. And personally, I love the song. I love hearing an artist become vulnerable, especially within his music, and speaking about something that is very, very serious. You know, loneliness and mental health, and the feeling of the whole world is staring at you, and you know, they're constantly judging you and pointing the fingers at you and saying that you'll always be this, even though you've evolved and grown into something more. Like, it was real and it was beautiful. And this is when it got just a little weird, because the host, they ended up cracking jokes and called him whiny. And then they said, and I'm directly quoting from their lips, this thing that they said. They said, "What do you have to be sad for? You're making millions of dollars. Just go cry in your Lamborghini, kid." Like, what the fuck? Are you serious? And the thing that fucking blew my mind was, before the song played, they played a commercial, and they were talking on it about mental health. And that there is a show that's going to be hosted on that station and all the sister stations that will gather celebrities and real people and doctors and psychiatrists and therapists who are all going to be talking about mental health and loneliness. And they were talking about how serious it is and that if you need help, reach out and blah, 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 blah. And it was like a beautiful thing. And I was like, yo, I'm definitely going to tune into this. And then right after that, the song plays, and then they say that, and it's like, yo, what the fuck do you stand for? Are you serious? So tell me that commercial that you recorded just a few minutes ago, just say out loud that that was just full of shit and you only did it for the money. Just say that, because what you just displayed in this very moment is extremely fucked up, and it's disheartening, because there are people who are really going through shit, and to hear you say that, and even though it's shock value, or it's your honest opinion, it's like, yo, then don't do that. Don't record some shit like that and then talk down about this man. Because if, Lord forbid, something were to happen to him and he took his life after he just bared his soul, you're going to be on the next day saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry, he was so young and blah, blah, blah. No, shut the fuck up. Because then you're part of the problem. And hugely, this whole thing, it's a fucking problem, because we separate ourselves from people who make a lot of money, and we think there is no way at all that they can understand how we feel. And it's like, yo, they're human. Just because they have money doesn't mean anything. You know, the separation of that is very thin, because if they lost all their money, then what? Then you're going to say, well, you're just like us. And there already are. They just have money. But that's just fucking depressing, to be honest. It's a huge fucking problem. Like, there's no compassion anymore. But that leads me back to Kim. I've heard all this ugly thrown out towards her and what she's going through. The problem here is she's still a person. Being harassed, demeaned, bullied by her ex that she's trying to end things with and move on. She even started dating, but now even the boyfriend, Pete Davidson, is a target. Kanye is going after him in tweets, texts, and in a music video of him holding Pete Davidson's severed head. And to quote him in the song, "God saved me from that crash just so I can beat Pete Davidson's ass." And he calls it art. And people who are Kanye fans follow and support it. And it's just like, yo, that's not art. It's a fucking threat. You're mad because she moved on and you feel like you're being replaced, which you are. But you're not at the same time, because you're still those kids' dad. You're still those kids' dad. But it's unnecessary to go after that man and shit on him just because your ex left you. Her leaving Kanye was her decision, and after his many outings and completely embarrassing her and talking down to her, talking at her, and not even listening to the one thing that she needed from him. Go get help. Take your fucking medication. And he publicly chose not to listen to her. He publicly does not want to get the help that he needed. He doesn't want to take it because he says it's going to affect his creativity. I'm going to say it. I've said this many a times and I will say it a fucking again. Fuck another Kanye album if that man is not mentally stable to be able to live his life in the best and healthiest way. Fuck it. I don't want to hear another Kanye album. I don't. If that means that he's going to just lose his mind and suffer for the art and end his own life, it tragically, knock on fucking wood, due to his negligence of his mental health. And having, or worse, because what's worse than death? The complete alienation of your kids because they don't want to deal with dad because he's fucking crazy and going after their mom and saying this, that, and the third. That is worse than death, to be, that's my opinion. But he's lost it. He said he's not going to take any medication. He's not going to do any of that. And even though there are options, he doesn't care about the options. And that's the problem. And now that she's moved on, now he's fighting to keep her. But he doesn't want to help himself. And that's the thing that he needs to do, help himself. Now he's making threats, talking way too much. This problem has gone from I love my wife to an actual fucking problem. Imagine, though, to all those people who are still trying to, you know, support Kanye and all this stuff, like, hey, okay, imagine for a second, just imagine that this was your friend, right? Just imagine if your friend is doing what Kanye is doing. Imagine your friend was Kim. And she's going through all of this. You'd be fucking pissed. You'd step to Kanye and be like, yo, what the fuck's going on? More importantly, you'd be scared for him because of what his mental status is. And you're going to reach out and be like, is there anything that I can do? My friend, right? Your closest friend. Your best friend. And if this was your homegirl, and this is happening to her, you're going to wild out, right? Because the crazy thing is, there are men who do this shit all around us every single day. We've seen how things end. We've seen how things end up in these situations. We've heard horror stories, all because she walked away. If your friend told you that her ex was harassing her online, threatening her new man with pictures and a video of him being murdered and their ex is holding your new man's head as a trophy and then bought the house next door, you'd be fucking terrified for her. You'd be calling the police. You'd be checking him yourself. You'd be calling lawyers. You'd be doing something, right? Right? Yeah, of course you would. You would. But because Kim is rich, she somehow doesn't deserve the same compassion from us. Now, in no way am I saying that Ye is actually going to hurt Pete or Kim. I pray to God that nothing comes like that. Nothing. I pray it doesn't come to that. I really do. I'm just saying that if this was your homeboy or your homegirl going through this shit can be bad. And oftentimes it does. And then you always hear people say, I should have done more. Or, I didn't think this could happen. Or, I can't believe this happened. Come on, man. At the end of the day, this situation has gone completely out of hand. And it needs to stop. Especially for those kids. Because they're the ones that are listening. They're the ones that are getting ridiculed. They're the ones that, no matter where they go, they can't go anywhere. Because, you know, we got to talk about daddy. They want to talk about daddy. You know, How's your dad? Blah, blah, blah. Other kids at school, picking, cracking jokes, talking shit. That's going to fuck with them. They're going to pay the ultimate price for all of this bullshit when it just needs to stop. Now, with that said, Pete Davidson for the fucking win. I got to tell you that. Pete Davidson for the fucking win. I mean, his leaked text messages, though, were absolutely fucking fire. Like, that was fire. When Kanye asked, where are you at? And he replied with a picture and said, in bed with your wife, bro. Come on. That's beautiful. Let's just give it up to that man. And then, then at the end of all that, he stopped at the jokes and then he said, yo, okay, but seriously, we should talk one-on-one and man to man. And he gave him his hand and was like, yo, I'm going through it. I have mental health issues myself. Like, let's talk about this. Let's really talk. I can help. And Kanye is basically like, fuck you, dude. I don't give a fuck. You fucking my wife. And at this point, Kanye's treating her like property more than a human being. I mean, that's just, that's me. That's my opinion. That's how I feel. Like, you know. But I respect the fuck out of Pete for standing up for himself. I mean, I do. For real. Bravo, Pete. Bravo. But anyway, I really hope this works out in the end because this is just, it's gone on too damn long and it's getting really fucking sad. Alright, let me switch gears and talk about something else. Jussie Smollett. Yeah, I'm going back there. So, years ago, if you followed my podcast, I publicly state I was the first one on socials, on this, even in front of people's faces. I remember I went to this bar, and it's one of my favorite bars that I go to, and I was with one of my homegirls, and we were talking about this situation, and I said out loud, no. I said out loud, no. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. This doesn't, no. None of it adds up. I don't believe it. And I've had people come at me. I even had somebody write me and said, well, this is the problem with black male energy and the gay community of hating on black gay men and blah, 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 blah. I liked her post and screenshot and was like, all right, I'm going to remember this. Give it about a week or two. And then when that shit came out that he was lying, I was like, hey, you remember me? And then she deleted the post because she knew I was right. Listen, I don't give a fuck. Look, I love the LGBTQ community. I'm a friend. I am a soldier. I got you. But this story, it was just like, no. Because at the end of the day, he's black first. There's no way I'm going to go home and keep that fucking noose on my neck. No, I don't give a fuck. Nah. Nah, son. Nah. If I was in his position and that really happened to me, nah. Nah. Nah, kill me. Fuck the bullshit. Kill me. I'm not walking away with this fucking noose on my neck. No, kiss my ass. No. Fuck no. There was just too many fucking holes. You mean the Trump supporters are walking around 2 o'clock in the morning and they see you? Hey, ain't you that gay nigger from Empire? What the fuck are Trump supporters watching fucking Empire for? First off. Second, in Chicago? The only white people that's walking around fucking with niggas is the police. Nah. Fuck no. No. It was just unbelievable. And it was just so sad to see the entire community back him. And then they find out that he lied. And after you publicly say all of these things and have their support, and it's just like, oh shit, this nigga lied. How can I retract my earlier statements? Like you can't. That's hard. But at the same time, I don't know. But I don't know. He was guilty from the jump. Anyway, he was found guilty and they sentenced him to 150 days in jail. I don't know. That's just wild. But he also has to pay the Cook County police department $106,000 or some shit like that. That's fucking wild. That is wild. He has to pay. Damn. Where he gonna get that at? You know? It's not like he's going to be working after this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe he can get it from his sister. She working. So, I don't know. I think she's still getting Full House money. I mean, I think she was on like a couple episodes of Full House or some Disney show. I don't know. But she's probably getting she got some residuals and some big ticket shit. But anyway, that's just this motherfucker. Anyway, so what I found interesting about this whole thing is really fucking stupid, but the thing that I found really interesting about this, though, was what he said in court when the judge asked him, is there anything that he would want to say? And he stood up, and this is to quote him directly. He said, I am not suicidal. I am innocent, and I'm not suicidal. If I did this, then it means that I shoved my fist in the fears of Black Americans in this country for over 400 years, and the fears of the LGBTQ community. Then he followed it with, Your Honor, I respect you, and I respect your decision, but I did not do this, and I am not suicidal. If anything happens to me when I go in there, I did not do it to myself, and you must all know that. So this is what I thought about that. I completely understand the fear. The threats that he's been getting is terrifying for anybody to get, especially when you're going to go into prison, especially if you're a publicly known gay man. You know, there are stories of R. Kelly in jail and someone trying to go in and kill him. So the prison stories are real, people. They're not legends, and it's not bullshit. Things that happen in prison, it's fucking wild. And there's things that people will never, ever know because they will never tell those stories. It's terrifying. So his fear is real, you know? His statement, though, of being innocent, bro, to stand on that hill, that's the hill he's choosing to die on. It's so much easier for him if he would have just said, you know what, I did that, I fucked up, I'm sorry. I made a stupid decision in the heat of the moment, did something ridiculous because of dun-dun-dun, you know. But instead, he is, you know, doubling down and fighting on the idea that he is innocent, when in reality we have all the proof that we need. We have the two guys who signed up to do this. They were in the area. They were seen on camera walking away. They admitted to it. I mean, there's just so much surrounding this that, you know, you have to just sit back and say, you know, I'm done. Yeah. Like, didn't they have a check? Like, didn't he write them a check or something? Like, that's wild. That's wild. But I don't know. He got caught up. And he should have just said, fuck it. Wash my hands. Done. But interesting enough, his legal team filed an emergency motion on Monday, asking the court to postpone his 5-month sentence at Chicago's Cook County Jail, while they work to appeal his conviction on 5 counts of felony disorderly conduct for lying to the police. You know, that's wild as fuck to me on so many, like, anyway, let me finish this up first. The filing, though, it argues Smollett's life is at risk because he's been the target of vicious threats on social media and the online hate. No doubt, this is a quote, no doubt reflects the hatred and wish for physical harm towards Jesse, which he may experience during incarceration. Let me tell you that again, that the fear is real. Like, yeah, I respect the fear. The thing that I find interesting about this, it actually has absolutely nothing to do with Jesse himself, just the felony to disorderly conduct for lying to the police. How many people actually end up going to prison for lying to the police? You know what I'm saying? Like, and having an investigation gone through and this, that, and the third. How many people have actually gone to jail, gone to prison for shit like that? And I just don't see that often. You don't hear about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are so many stories of people giving false testimony or, telling the police that this happened to them when really it didn't happen. And, you know, it's a slap on the wrist, a fine or whatever. Like, and then they just move on. I mean, this man got fined $100,000. He has to pay restitution to the Cook County jail or Superior Court of the city. $100,000, and then he also got fined $25,000 on top of it, and he has to spend 150 days in jail and some odd years on probation. Like, that's a lot. That's fucking excessive, if you ask me. I mean, if you, for this bullshit and fuckery and the national attention, the embarrassment, fuck yeah, I that makes sense. It makes sense that you would want to punish this man to the fullest extent because of everything, you know, the full coverage of everything. But I've seen white people do some shit and lie to the police. Think about all those people who called the police on black people for fucking working out at the park, for minding their own goddamn business and flying a kite or having a barbecue, you know, having a cookout and shit, and all the Karens of the world come out and they're like, "Hey, yo, I'm calling the police on you." You know what I'm saying? Like, and nothing happens, you know? Nothing happens to those people. So it just blows my mind. Even with the national coverage, it just blows my mind, you know? So I feel indifferent with the one side who's like, "Yo, we should just let him go because, you know, that's excessive and his life's on the line. Like, you know, he lied, yeah, but, you know, let's just have him pay the fine and go home." You know what I'm saying? And then I feel the other side like, "Yo, he was a fucking idiot and he should probably, you know, he caused a lot of shit in this city. And he made everybody look stupid. So, yeah, he should probably get a little something, but I don't know, I'm on the fence. Because there's a huge part of me that believes that not everybody deserves to go to prison for being stupid. And I mean that. Like, there are people who just sometimes do stupid shit and they don't realize that they just do dumb shit. Sometimes people just do dumb shit and they don't necessarily deserve to go to prison for those things. A slap on the wrist, being scared, maybe being held overnight, yeah, a fine, cool, but, you know, being stupid shouldn't be a crime, but it is a crime, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, this situation is so ridiculous. I'm more for the public humiliation of this man, more so than I am him going to prison. Have them pay that $100,000, cool. Have them pay that extra $25,000, fine, cool. The humiliation and have him go to counseling, go to like fucking some sort of training or something, sensitivity training or some shit. Like, allow him the opportunity to get his life back and do that. But prison, more often than not, some people who go to prison do not make it back the same way. And I'm just, that's just personally how I feel about it. But sometimes we do too much for people who haven't done enough to earn that ride to prison. You know what I'm saying? But someone who has done enough to actually earn that ride to prison, Jesus Samaniego? I don't even know if I'm saying his right story. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. What the fuck? But this dude, yeah, he deserves it. Because this man took time out of his busy schedule, you know, crackheads, you know, crack, smoke, chocolate, eat, you know what I'm saying? the usual. So, this day, this man decided, you know what? I need some money. I need some more crack. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rob a place. But not just any place. A restaurant. A sushi restaurant. Yeah. They got money. They always have money. Then I'll come home, smoke crack, watch some South Park. Yeah. Perfect. I don't know. That's just the conversation that I saw in my head when I saw this dude's mugshot. Anyway, this young man decided to walk in the restaurant and shoot up into the ceiling. Bang. Yo. Everybody hit the flow. Give me all your money. Again, I don't know if that's actually what happened, but in my head, that's what happened. So, little did he know that UFC star Kevin Holland was chomping down on some unagi and California rolls in that very fucking restaurant. And when the shot rang out, people hid, but this dude, along with some other men, tackled this guy, took the gun away, and held him down until police got there. And then they took the man away. Police were like looking around like, yo, what's the deal? And they were like, yo, it's him. The gun's over there. Take this man. And police was like, all right, cool. Just, what the fuck? He's now facing charges of possessing a stolen gun and discharge of a firearm. Wow. Bravo. To that man and those people who risk their lives to help save strangers. In this day and age, you really don't see too many everyday people risking their own lives to save others. But the fact that these men, including Kevin Holland, it speaks to the idea that humanity isn't lost, that there's still civility, that there's still community, that there's still love out here. And that good people exist, you know, even after all the shit 2020 and 2021 had given us and taken away from us. It's honestly good to see that the human spirit is still alive and well. So bravo to those men. Bravo indeed. Okay. What else? Oh, yes. So last week, I went out to go see, the Batman. And if you know me, I'm a huge Batman fan. Huge. I have the Bat symbol tattooed on my arm. I have, you know, toys, books, graphic novels, memorabilia. I have, you know, pajamas. Like, I have so much Batman shit. It's honestly, like, ridiculous. It really is. I have a speaker that is 4 foot tall, and on the top of it, when you click the switch, the bat symbol shines up to the sky. Is that unnecessary? Yeah. But did I need to get it? Fuck yeah. So I got it. Anyway, so I went to watch the movie because I've heard good and bad. And I never really listened to what the critics have to say or what these fans, and I never really pay attention to the reviews. I don't care about Rotten Tomatoes. I don't care about any of that stuff. If it looks good to me, if it looks interesting, I'm going to watch it, and then I'm going to give an honest opinion about it, and that's just what it is. And I got to say, this movie was fucking fire. It was 5 flames out of 5. That movie was so just, it was on point, and the twists, the how it drew you in on certain situations, and then it just made you hold your breath and let go, and you're like, oh shit, yeah. Like, there's just so many payoffs in this, and the thing that I love the most is that when it started, it was a noir, and I loved it because it was telling not the story, but it was telling the audience what this was, that this is a detective. This is him becoming the detective and looking for answers and trying to understand. This was this is how Batman has always been. It was about the detection, because he is a detective more so than a guy who just goes in and beats people up and, you know, moves on, has a nice day. I love that they didn't focus on the Playboy aspect, because it was not about that. It's not about him, you know, getting a tan, looking good, spending money, going to parties. It was about his own inner turmoil and trying to save a city, or at least get answers for the loss and the pain that he was feeling. I loved the story. I loved the direction. The writing was phenomenal. And it deserved all the time that it got in this movie. It really breathed. And it was fine wine. And I was very much enjoying it. I love the simple detail that they dropped in there of not calling Zoe Kravitz's role Catwoman. I love that they didn't do that and they just called her by her name, Selina Kyle. That is perfect, because this is not Catwoman as we know her. This is more of the beginning. This is Selina finding who she is, or who she is to become. And that is powerful. And to see that final scene, it was smart. It was well done and well written. And I am here for it. And if I get to see another one with them, I am here for it. So shout out to everybody who made that. That was incredible. That was great. I highly recommend watching that film. I highly recommend you sitting with people who just want to watch a movie, a great noir. And shout out to Nirvana. I mean, Nirvana, Something in the Way went up 1,500% up on streams, and it went from obscurity in, you know, in the land of people who listen to this song to the fucking world listening to the song, and it was number 6 on the Billboard charts. I mean, that's wild as fuck to me, and I love that. So yeah, another run for Nirvana, you know? Another run. Anyway, so that's what I got for today. Now, in the spirit of new shit and new beginnings, I love listening to new music. I love to find anything that is just obscure, anything that's different, anything that catches my attention. I love music. I listen to all types of music, so it's not necessarily always going to be hip-hop. And this this is an example of that, because the other day I saw that this artist had dropped a new project, and immediately I was like, yeah, I'm here for it. I was buying Girl Scout cookies, and I was like, yeah, I'm here for it. Yep, I'm here for it. I'm on it. Let's do this. And I got a surprise. It was a different direction, but very aligned with his temperament and the things that he does naturally. And this was an incredible project. I really enjoyed it. So this is Yellow Wolf along with Shooter Jennings, and this joint is called Sometimes Why. Now, the intro is a bit long, but it's really good. So I'm going to play this song, Sometimes Why, off of the Sometimes Why project that was dropped by Yellow Wolf and Shooter Jennings, and it's going to be followed by the other track on this album, Rock and Roll Baby. So enjoy that. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
We have a go for main engine start. Auto sequence initiated. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
when I came to that corporate room. Giving up my last okay wasn't good enough for you. When I walk away, I'm leaving every bit of shit you polished too.
Bye.
Again, that was Yellow Wolf featuring Shooter Jennings. Yeah, that was it. And damn, my phone is ringing again. All right, I'm going to get out of here. But it was amazing to do this episode and to kick it with y'all. Damn, I hope that's not important. Probably not. Anyway. tune in next week. I'm gonna have some more bullshit for you. I hope everybody has a great week, and leave comments, follow me on Instagram, follow me on all social medias, and so hope to hear from you guys soon. And thanks again for listening in. Peace.